days worth of not. All right, is that better? Yeah, I can hear something. Oh, yeah, I can hear. When I'm hearing it, it's good. But when John says, you know, you must be born again, we think about that, and I think about relationship just right quick. I think here is a relationship. He says you're going to be born into the kingdom. You're going to be born, and when you're born again, you're going to be able to enter the kingdom. You're going to be a part of the kingdom. You're going to be able to see the kingdom. Well, John, I think, really goes on this idea in 1 John chapter 3 when he says, we are the sons of God. We are born again. We are born into this relationship. Well, how are we born? We're born of water and of the Spirit. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For if many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, we've been born again into a relationship with Him. And you know, when I think about relationships, I think about, you know, the challenges that there are in relationships. I think about relationships that I personally have. You have your relationship as a son to a parent, mothers and fathers, and you have that relationship. Then you have relationships where you have brothers and sisters, and there are challenges within that relationship of being a good brother, a good sister to your siblings, and those are important relationships. Then we have the relationship that we have with husbands and wives. And we understand that relationship, and we understand the importance of that relationship and the harmonious attitudes that ought to go into that relationship. And then we understand how valuable that relationship is. And then the parent-to-the-child relationship. And we see this, and what I see is that in every one of these relationships, they require constant effort. It's just not something that you say, well, I'm a child or I'm a parent, and it's not going to require any work out of me. I won't tell you what, somebody who is a child and just says, well, I'm a child, and since I'm their child, they're going to take care of me, and they don't work at that relationship. They may have some things that come from the parents as a result of their understanding that relationship and working toward that relationship. But just because you're a child will not make that relationship everything it could be and ought to be. Just because you're a child. Or just because you're a parent. You say, well, I'm the parent, and these children ought to understand. I'm the parent. Well, that's right. And you know, but just because you're the parent won't make that relationship everything it ought to be. And I'm the husband, or I'm the wife, and they ought to understand who I am and my importance in this relationship. Therefore, that ought to make it. No, that's not going to make the relationship what it ought to be either. You see, what it does, it requires constant effort. It requires us working. And so when we think about the relationship with God, I think about the fact that we need to build a relationship with God. That we understand this is a relationship. As John refers to it here, he says that we are born. We are sons of God. And he uses that terminology a lot in the epistles of John. But as we think about building the relationship, there are four things I want to notice with you, and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to notice with you about the steps in building our relationships is that we need to grow to appreciate God's love. We need to grow to appreciate God's love. If you will, if you're there in 1 John chapter 3, look over to chapter 4 with me and look down at verse 9. When we think about God's love and we understand that this love starts with God. The relationship we have with God starts with God. If you're there in 1 John chapter 4, look with me in verse 9. For in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, it is God who started this relationship. It is God who desired this relationship. It is God who wants us with Him. It's not us. It's not something I did and I said, well, because of this, God is going to give me this relationship. He's going to give me a relationship of being able to be called His Son. I remind you of the passage there in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You know, here is the appreciation of God's love for us. We need to appreciate, and we need to understand that God wants us. I think there are oftentimes their insecurities and their fears about our relationship with God. God wants us to be with Him. I think about over in Matthew chapter 11 when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. "For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest into your souls." You see, Jesus says, "Come unto me." He wants us to be with Him. But oftentimes we go through life and we have insecurities about, why in the world would God love me? Why in the world would God take time with me? There's so many people in the world, and there's so many people in the world with so many problems, and there's so many people that are so good. Why would God have any time for me? Because I'm not so good. Or maybe we look at somebody else and say, well, somebody else needs so much more than I need. However we look at it. We have securities and fears about, really, does God care about me? That's a problem. God does care about me. Whether I've got big problems or whether I've got no problems, God cares about me. As a matter of fact, Peter says, what? Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He cares for us. We need to understand that from Scripture. And as a matter of fact, as I think about these insecurities that oftentimes we have, I think about the Gospel of Luke. Luke deals with these kinds of ideas in his Gospels. I'm turning now, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 gives us a first illustration of a person that I want us to notice. Luke chapter 15. Look with me. Verse 1, where Jesus is on his ministry on earth, and He's here to teach the Jews about salvation. He's come to save them. It says in verse 1, "Then drew near to Him publicans and sinners to hear Him." They drew near to Him, who? Tax collectors, sinners, to hear Him. And the Pharisees, these leaders among the Jews and the scribes, they murmured, saying what? Verse 2, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Understand, Jesus isn't taking people that seem to have no abilities to offer Him anything. The people that are the tax collectors. Oh, how we abhor taxes, don't we? We don't like to pay taxes. Nobody wants taxes. No, nobody does. But here are tax collectors that don't just take their taxes. Well, what they do is they take their taxes and then they extort more than really is due from tax. And they take what they can get as extra and they keep it for themselves. And that's what they are. They're actually thieves, if you will, doing the work of the government. And that's how they're seen. And these people draw near to Jesus. And Jesus sits down and eats with them. As I think about this, I'm reminded just a few chapters back, in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. You turn there, you'll remember that there is Jesus coming along His way, and there is a man who is short of stature. His name is Zacchaeus, and he is a publican. He is one of these tax collectors. And Jesus says to him, when He sees him up in the tree, He says, "Come down, for I am going home with you today. Make haste, salvation is coming to your house today." Do we see Jesus taking time for people who nobody else would give the time of day? You see a tax collector coming, everybody would shun him. They would get away from him, but not Jesus. Jesus says to the tax collector, "I'm going home with you." Tax collectors draw near to Him. What does this cause people to do to Jesus? They murmur. They complain. Turning back to the book, seventh chapter of the same book, Luke chapter 7. And we're told about another incident. It says there was one of the Pharisees that desired that he would eat with him. Verse 36 says, "And so he went into the Pharisee's house to sit down for a meal. It says in verse 37, behold, a woman in that city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at the feet of him, behind him, weeping, and began to wash the feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he began to speak with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, say on, master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, frankly, he forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose he that whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom is little forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. You know, here's somebody who appreciates the love of Jesus. Here's a woman who comes and sees Jesus and understands who he is and what he's about. And she is a sinner and she understands she needs salvation. And what does she do? She comes and she makes herself available to him and she does something for her what she can. The Pharisee looks at this and he says, she is just washing her feet and she's wasting this ointment. And he thinks about how much that could have been used for something else. And he begins to decry her. But Jesus rebukes her, saying, you should have done this. You should have done this, but she didn't. She is appreciating God's love. She understands she's in need of God's love. And so the first step in building our relationship is that we need to grow to appreciate God's love. And we need to open the door. God is knocking. Revelation chapter 3 is where I go for this. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Where we see Jesus writing to the church at Laodicea. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are we listening to Jesus as he knocks upon the door? Are we opening the door, if you will, of our hearts to Jesus? Are we opening them up and saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Do we have the attitude of Samuel when he says, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth? Is that our attitude? Or do we see God's word and we hear it constantly? We understand, we read it, and we say, I know it says that, but you know, that's really difficult. Are we much like those people of the disciples of Jesus' day in John chapter 6 who liked the feeding and liked to eat and liked to be well fed and enjoyed following him as long as they were doing those things. But when he began to talk about the things that real discipleship was about, they said, This is not the Messiah we're looking for. We're not about eating flesh and drinking blood. This doesn't set well with us. And so they turned back and they walked no more with him. Are we like that? Or do we really open, if you will, our hearts to Jesus and we open up God's word and we let God's word radiate into us about who God is? The authority of Jesus, the scriptures are clear about that. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus says, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Do we really see that? Do we really understand what that means? That Jesus is the authority of my life? Do we really understand when Jesus there in Matthew chapter 7 is teaching the Sermon on the Mount that there are people who will say unto me, Lord, Lord, but they don't do the things which he says? As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, there are many that say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Why do you not do the things that Jesus says? If you call him Lord, why do you not abide in his word? Why do you not keep what things he teaches? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? He says, then I will profess unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Why would he do it? He says, because you did not do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, it's all right if I'm doing things I want to do, as long as it's what I like. I'm gonna do what Jesus said. I'm gonna sing, but I like to sing, so I sing. I don't really like to do other things. I don't like to read, so I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to study it because I just that's just hard. Let somebody else do that. I will pray because I like to sit and meditate and think. I can pray. You know, Lord's Supper, you know, grape juice and the bread that, you know, if it was good tasting bread, I would like it. But, you know, this is just a little chip of a cracker of some time. Why can't we have a good loaf of bread? Why can't it be sourdough bread? You know, I really like hearing music played with a harp. I really do. I like to do it that way. When we begin to think like that, are we really opening our hearts to Jesus? Are we really opening our hearts to what he says? Are we going to his word and say, you know, that's exactly what I'm doing. I see what he says, and that's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to reside. That's where I'm going to stand. Or do we sit there and say, well, if it's what I like to do, I will do it. You know what? It may be that I'm doing the very things he tells us to do. But it may be that I'm doing them because I like. That's what I like to do. Now, you know, it may be that I like to do it because I know that is what God wants me to do. Now, that's okay. But if I'm just simply doing it because it's what I want to do, then we've got to stop. And we've got to think about, is our allegiance really to Christ? Are we really opening our hearts to him? Are we opening the door? God is knocking. In the building of that relationship is we need to be honest. We need to be open. We need to be vulnerable. You know, this may be one of the biggest things we'd have to deal with. I'm turning back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I read in the text here where John writes, and he writes about these relationship, the fellowship that we can have with Jesus Christ and with the Father as well. He says that if we go through life, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes, and But when we make those mistakes, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. But we can't say that we have no sin and that we don't need the blood of Christ. If we do, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, verse 8. But notice verse 9, he says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, I mean, I'm talking about being open and honest. I'm going to confess my faults. I'm going to open up my heart to God. And he's at the door, he's knocking, I'm opening it up, and I'm reading God's word, I'm studying God's word, I'm learning God's word. And as I learn it, I learn there are things that I'm doing that are not according to God's word. I'm not doing things like I ought to. I'm coming to worship, and I'm coming to worship because that's what I think everybody else thinks I need to be doing. But it's not because I want to come and to worship him. I'm not coming around the Lord's table. I'm sitting there thinking about during the Lord's Supper, well, how long is this going to take? And when the prayers are being prayed, let's hope the prayers aren't too long. And let's hope the song service isn't too long, because you know the preacher. It takes him forever to get through.
If our minds are focused on those kind of things in worship, I need to learn. And I need to be open my hearts. And I need to be honest. And I need to confess my sins. Ask God to forgive me. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, this comes out of a life of prayer. When I think about this, I think about Psalm 51. And I won't go over there and take time to read that. But when you see that, you see an outpouring of David's heart in prayer to God for forgiveness of sins. Oh, why? Because he has failed. He understands where he stands before God. And he wants to be cleansed. He wants to be reconciled back to God. He wants to have his salvation restored again into him. And you know, that's exactly the way it ought to be. But you see, you have to open your heart. You have to be honest. You have to be vulnerable. You see, it's not easy to sit there and say, well, I'm wrong. That makes yourself vulnerable. But you see, we've got to be that way with God. We can't hide anything with God. And building a relationship with God means I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to be like that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 who went to the temple to pray and he looked upon him and said, and he's thanking God for that he's not like other men or even as this publican. And Jesus says, I tell you, that publican that you're not like, that publican that you're not like, that's the one who went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. See, that's being open, honest, and vulnerable. What was the Pharisee saying? I don't do anything like that. But the publican was just smoting himself on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And finally, what we see about building this relationship is we need to connect with him through others. We need to connect with him through others. I think oftentimes we don't understand the importance of connecting with him through others. I think oftentimes we kind of pass that off as, well, that's not really that important. But we do connect with God through others. We interact with others. And as we interact with others, we interact with God. And as I think about this, I guess the best place to turn is to turn to Matthew chapter 25, where we see Jesus in his judgment scene that he's picturing here. And he has all the nations gathered before him. And he's told those on his right hand, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat, thirsty and you took me in, a stranger, naked, clothed me, sick, visited me, prison. You did all these things to me. And then they say, well, when did we do these things to you? When did we come to you in prison? When did we come to you and clothe you? When did we give you food? When did we give you drink? When did we do these things to you? Verse 37, the Lord will answer. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, verse 40, you have done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. You connect with him through others. And so we can't just throw others off and say, well, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Because it does. You see, we build a relationship with God and appreciating God's love. That's the beginning. We've got to understand that. And then we've got to open the door. Because of God's love and what he has done for us, we open the door of our hearts to God, to his word, to his instructions. And then we are honest and open and vulnerable. And then we use our lives in connecting to others. Where do you stand this morning in building your relationship with God? Do you stand prepared? Do you stand ready? I hope this morning we can all say that's the case with us, but it may be that there's some things we need to change in our life. Maybe we need to take that first step in appreciating God's love. And we need to come in faith, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to be buried with him in baptism.